All right, we're still in Psalm 119, and the second section there. And we were going to be looking at the aspect of thy word in my, have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. The importance of filling our hearts, our minds with the word of God. And we mentioned, let's go back and look at verse 9. I wanted to mention a couple of things here before we get to verse 11. It says, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. Now let's look at that that verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It doesn't have to be limited to a young man. How are we to cleanse our way? That's the idea of our path, our doings. If you wanted to go out beyond that, our thinking, any aspect of our being. How am I going to fix what is wrong in me? How am I going to, by the grace of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, how am I going to accomplish that that work of transformation, that work of fixing what is broken in me? Well, yes, but what does the verse say? That's true, because you have to start with salvation. It's not possible apart from salvation and the power of the Holy Spirit. What's it say? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. All right, so I need to know God's word. I need to be saturated, immersed in what God has to say. We need to learn the Bible. We need to learn what God has to say in his word. If you wrestle with an area of temptation, if you wrestle with something that's going on in your life or something of that nature, and all of us do. All of us have our pet projects. All of us have our chief difficulties. Oh, this is tying in well, isn't it, today? A key thing that we ought to do is to memorize scripture that deals with those particular areas. When you are struggling with something, you're worried, you're fearful, you go to the verses that are an encouragement. We have to go to the Psalms, or other places. And, we look for encouragement. We look for help. Well, when we're dealing with the opposite, where the problem is us instead of something on the outside, when the problem is us, we really need to look at the scripture. By the way, I have 4.5 hours to work, finish this. You memorize scripture, you fill your mind with the scripture that's going to be dealing with the issues. And there's verses that deal with every facet of life. As far as what we see, what we listen to, if we're struggling with lust, we're struggling with pride, we're struggling with worry, we're struggling with depression, we're struggling with all these different things. The Word of God has answers to all those things. As far as what we are to do, how we are to respond to those things. And whatever area of struggle that you are dealing with, it is a good thing not only to look that up and read it, but to meditate on it and ideally to memorize it. To fill your heart and your mind with the things that are a great struggle to you. And, because how am I going to cleanse my way? I need to be focused on God's Word. And one of the things that God does, is this especially true for memorizing it, that when the temptation comes along, and I don't know if this has been the experience for you, but it certainly has for me, when the temptation comes along, bing! All of a sudden, there's a little flag goes up, and that verse comes to mind, or a verse like that comes to mind. God is using His Word to as a reminder. He is using His Word to bring conviction, to say, hey, here's your warning, or here's your encouragement, or here's your way out. And all those are in God's Word. So we need to fill our hearts, our minds, our understanding with the Word of God. And with that, verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. May that be the case. that I'm not distracted from other things, that I am devoted to the Lord. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. How am I going to do, I need to know what they are, going back to verse 9. And then he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And going back to the same idea that we were talking about in verse 9, talked about this a little bit last week, that we often think of scripture memory as something for children. Because after all, they remember things so well. I remember, you know, my brother and I would sit down with my grandmother, and she would tell us all these stories of her childhood. All kinds of amazing things. She had a fun childhood, an interesting childhood, and back before automobiles and so on, and just all the different things that you would hear, all these different stories. If I were to ask her what happened last week, she probably couldn't remember it. But filling her, but all that stuff from childhood was still there. And I suppose a lot of you folks would say, "Boy, I know I am." What happened 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? But let me tell you what happened when I was five. Now, with that, I mentioned that in our church directory, we have the verses for evangelism, and they're written out. We have several pages dealing with this, as well as assurance of salvation. And I wanted to go through this. I know this is old and it's repetitive, but we need the reminder. So often one of the reasons, the primary reason, that we don't engage in personal evangelism is because we're afraid we're going to mess it up. Now, sometimes it doesn't even cross our minds, which is a shame. I mean, I'm often kicking myself. Why didn't I? Oh, I had a great opportunity. Why didn't I say something? Why didn't I at least give a tract? Have tracts on you. Have tracts on you. Carry them with you. But have the verses in your head. Have that memorized. And also talked about the magic of the smartphone. Today we have, and if you don't have a Bible app on your phone, get one. Get one. They're free. And, or if necessary, call, you know, talk to Google. And if you know part of the verse and you can't remember where it is or anything, it's all right there. We don't have to have a brain anymore. Good grief, we've got this thing. All right. But memorize the verses. Be familiar with the gospel. Know it backwards and forwards. Because people have questions. We are dealing with, it's kind of interesting. We deal with a very hostile society as far as the gospel is concerned. But we're also dealing with a society that is very empty. That there's a lack of fulfillment. This is one of the reasons why you have the hedonism. People are looking for some sort of fulfillment, some sort of satisfaction, something that's going to fill in that void. And there is some hunger for the gospel. There's got to be something more than what we're looking at and dealing with. And so to know that gospel, to be the answer person, we all ought to be the answer person. You are the best Christian that somebody knows. And maybe quite a few people. Maybe even the only Christian. And so we ought to know those verses. Let's deal with the idea of the gospel. If you are sharing, now by the way, I'm dealing with a traditional approach. There are a few other ways to go about it. The message is the same. But what is the first aspect of the gospel that we need to deal with?
Get them lost.
Yeah, they've got to recognize that they're sinners. We have to be careful, because some people are really, really good at this. I mean, it's just natural, and they are good at this. We got to make sure that we are not being expert salesmen. At the same time, we need to make sure that we have the answers and we're saying things that we're not ideally stumbling through this. All right? That we're sinners. That is totally off of people's radar today. Even in the Midwest and the South, this is becoming a foreign concept. They just do not get this. What is sin? You deal with the idea of, we can deal with several different aspects of approaches of guilt. Why do you ever wrestle with guilt? Why do you feel guilty? Well, I'll let you know why we feel guilty. It's because we are. And most people wrestle with guilt whether they're willing to admit it or not. Jeff Musgrave takes the approach of, we used to say, if you were to die today, that's a real pleasant start. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Now, it's a legitimate question. And that would create an avenue for this if you can actually get over the hurdle of that kind of thing. Another way is, do you have a relationship with God? Don't ask him, do you believe in God? Do you have a relationship with God? I know we have militant atheists. But here in the Northwest, our biggest problem is not atheism. Our biggest problem is the biggest religion, number one religion here in Washington, is this personal spirituality thing. I'm a spiritual person. How many of you have been told, you try to share the gospel, I'm a spiritual person. I love to ask him this, what is that? Explain to me, how are you a spiritual person? And they'll often give you some vagaries of certain things, how they feel and so on. With that, that ties in real well to the question here. Do you have a relationship with God? All right? You believe in spiritual things. Do you have a relationship with God? And if you get that far, one of the things, I hope so. Or I think so. How do you know? How do you know? Well, I feel or I think. Well, by the way, when you start using the scripture, don't get into an argument about whether or not the scripture is true. With the gospel, with the nature of God, with the scripture, that is something that God, the Holy Spirit. Now, I like to deal with people's objections. But if that's not something you're comfortable with, don't get sidetracked on whether or not the Bible's true. Because you can talk for days and weeks and months going that route and never get to the gospel. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you wrestling with guilt? Do you know what are we sinners? What's a sinner? Talk to me, what is a sinner? What is a sinner? We have to be careful. We are so used to our Christian lingo. But the people outside are clueless. They are clueless. Growing up in the Midwest, having lived in the South, there's enough background in those two parts of the country that you can talk to somebody and even if they're lost, they're familiar with certain concepts and certain ideas. All right? If they have a Roman Catholic background, we're still dealing with the right, with some concepts and ideas that they're taught. But when you're dealing with a secularized culture like we have so much here in the Northwest and the Northeast, the whole West Coast, these things they're off their radar. They do not know what these things are. They have no idea. They know there's some kind of religious connotation with this, but beyond that, they don't know. They don't know. All right. So taking advantage of, we need to make sure that we're saying the same thing, but we need to make sure that our terms are not part of our lingo, because that's foreign language to these folks. Do you wrestle with guilt? Have you done things that are wrong? Because the Bible says that everybody has done things that are wrong. One of the things that people will often do, and they go through the Ten Commandments. I saw recently that, these days, people by and large, for the most part, the man's relationship to man, the second table of law, most people are in favor of that. Most people like that. Most people are in agreement with that. You get up at the first part about worshiping God and not having other gods and not worshiping idols. Well, that's because God's not part of their thinking. They're thinking about human relationships. Even dealing with the second table of law, do you keep these commandments? Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you steal? Do you lust after things that aren't yours? Do you hate? Do you, you know, all these things? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? All these things. Are we guilty? Are we sinners? Yes. What is a sinner? Let's talk about this because it may come up. If we let that term out, if that comes to conversation, what is sin? Things to do with the world, okay. Okay, it's rebellion against God. In thought, word, and deed, it's doing the things that God tells us not to do and not doing the things that he tells us to do. It is disobedience to God. Yes?
One of the problems that we have today is those things, there is nothing wrong. Everything, mm-hmm. whatever you want.
People create their own morality.
And yesterday's morality is...
But there's still, here, let's quickly look at this. We'll come back to this next time as well. But let's go to Exodus 20. Most people are familiar with the Ten Commandments. And although they are, not being allowed to be displayed and so on, guess where you can see them? The Supreme Court. So Exodus chapter 20. And we have, let's go to the second table of the law. Starting in verse 12. Man's relationship to man. Honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Which is basically saying you're not going to lie about somebody. You're not going to slander. You're not going to, okay. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's, fill in the blank. Most people today, cross-culturally, are going to agree with those premises. They may not practice them. They may practice some of them. They may try to practice these things. Is a failure disobedient to what this is? And see, if somebody, going back to Romans 3 and 4, when we deal with the idea of the human conscience, that even the Gentiles, dealing with the basic tenets of the law, have the same rules and regulations in their cultures. You can go almost anywhere around the world, and the last six commandments are pretty standard. Doesn't matter where you go. Well, do we keep these things in thought, word, and deed? A lot of these things, by the way, are mind issues. Do we do this? Do we obey these commands? Because you can say, these things are right, but God says they're right, but at the same time, you would acknowledge that they are right, and you try to keep these things. Are you successful? Well, I do pretty good, or I do my best. Yes, but do you consistently keep these things? No. You know what that means? That means you've broken the commandment, and not only that, you've gone contrary to your conscience, which is why you deal with guilt. Because you're not doing what you know to do. Even if you don't have a regard for God or the things of God, you still don't do what you believe is right and good. And then you can say, the Bible calls that sin. It's an old-fashioned term. God calls that sin. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come short of God's standard of what is right. And again, it's so amazing these days that it's almost like you're talking to, I was sharing this with somebody. Somebody had some questions here a few months back. I said, today, it's almost like you're sitting down and sharing the gospel with a 5-year-old. Because you have to deal with the very bare basics. Because we're starting from scratch. Depending on the culture, a lot of missionaries have to do the same thing. You have to start at the very ground level. You are teaching toddlers the gospel concept. And our culture is so far removed from the gospel that that's where we have to start. Now, depending on who you're talking to, they may be already there in a lot of categories, just depending on their background and what they've read, what they think, and so forth. But we got to be careful that we don't assume too much. Bible truth is Bible truth. But the world out there these days, especially here in our part of the country, has very, very little knowledge of it. So we need to be very careful as far as our terms, guilt, relationship. Those are good. And those are what the gospel is teaching. But coming back to using that term, I'm not saying we should get away from it. I'm saying that people don't know what it means. They don't understand it. They know they might be out there as far as the vagary is concerned, but they don't know what it means. And so dealing with the lostness of our condition. And then we have verses here, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. What God says in his word is that there's none righteous, no, not one. That nobody does what they're supposed to do. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Here's God's standard. And regardless of how hard we try, we can't reach, we can't measure up to God's standard. And most of us would acknowledge that God's standard is good. And God's standard is right. But I don't measure up. Have the verses in your head and be able to explain them. And then we have Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, and those are also quoted in Romans chapter 3. And then Ecclesiastes 7:20, if you want to go the Old Testament route. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. No one is excluded. We're all guilty. There is no room for self-righteousness. And when people make excuses or they say, well, I know somebody, I know lots of people that are worse than I am. You know, the thing, depending on, by the way, oh, we're going to have to quit. I'm going to come back to this. That argument sounds so good. It is really, really foolish if you come the back door on that. That means that you are good enough, but maybe they aren't. So what you are doing by making that statement is you are making yourself the standard, the threshold of what it takes to get to heaven. That you're good to go because you're good, because you're better than they are. You know, that's the epitome of self-righteousness. All right, we'll come back to this. Dealing with the gospel, questions, answers, and dealing with an approach that people can grasp today. Because we've got to, like I said, most people don't have the background anymore. Well, see, yeah, because God is the standard.
Yeah.
All of sin that comes short of the glory of God. But you can quote that verse to somebody, and people will turn it around and say, well, I know lots of people that are worse than I am.
Yeah, but there isn't one that have Sam.
Because I know that. You know that. But people are scrambling. Well, there's a conscience aspect, but people are making excuses. And it's kind of interesting that as people make excuses, when you've got it right there in black and white before them, when people begin to make excuses, understand that we're already dealing, God the Holy Spirit is already dealing with a little bit of this. Because they're scrambling to overcome what they already recognize as a problem. All right, we'll come back to this next time. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel. I pray you'd help us to understand it ourselves backwards and forwards, to be able to explain it, to know the verses, and Father, to share with this very wicked world what they so desperately need. It is the one thing that they need, and it is the primary thing they don't want. And yet, Father, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to share this, and I pray that we would know it and be able to effectively give this message, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.